Well, good morning, my brothers. I came in this morning and Lou came up to me and said, whatever you're going to say, cut it in half because we're going to be quick. So I'm going to be quick. But my name is Terrell Jasper. I'm the elder over missions here at Cornerstone. I'm just going to give you a little oversight of what missions is about here at Cornerstone. But to understand it, you must first understand that everything we do is rooted in Scripture. God has revealed through Scripture, from the Old Testament to the New Testament, that He will be supreme over the calling of people to His name throughout the entire earth. Scripture is replete from it, from Genesis to the book of Revelation. God says, my name will be great among the nations. He says, let the nations be glad. He says, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to all nations, and then the end will come. It says that around the throne, John saw people from every tribe and tongue and language and nation worshiping the Lamb of God. And everything is rooted in God's call to find His people, to find the redeemed for which Christ bore the pain of the cross, to find those people and bring them into the kingdom. And that's what missions is about. And I'm thankful to this church because from its foundation, when it was first formed, there were men on the elder board who said, we are not only going to be a light to the Hillcrest area and a discipling of the people here, but we are also going to use our resources to reach those who are outside of our Hillcrest area. And so from the foundation of this church, they set up a fixed budget. 10% of this church's budget was going to go to the task of preaching the gospel, building the church around the world. And so this, that was Tony Massavice and Tom Shirk, if anybody remembers those names. And this church has been faithfully giving toward that cause. Sometimes that budget amount has fluctuated up to 15% when we've had particular missions needs, but we have faithfully given. And it is the largest portion of this church's budget, aside from the staff and salaries that this church gives. So it shows a priority of what this church has. And the missions committee is charged with the oversight of that, the decision-making. And, you know, if you take a look at what this church's vision is, it's encapsulated in that phrase that's on the bulletin that we see, to glorify God by making disciples of Jesus Christ. And I often say that the missions committee's part of that is to glorify God by making disciples of Jesus Christ where His name is unknown or His church needs to be built. And those two additional phrases really define what is important to us. It is to identify those agencies, those individual missionaries who are going to go and bring the word of God to the least reached peoples, the people who they either live in a location or they are part of a people group or where the gospel is not known to them. The gospel isn't heard. That's what informs our support of people like the Maynards, a couple who came out of this church. Their goal is to reach Israelis, Jewish people, who even though they are connected into the modern world, they live in a culture where the name of Christ is not heard. And it also is why we fund like the Josses, who were here last week, who are supporting the translation work of the scriptures through Wycliffe Bible translators into 23 different languages within the Southeast Asia. Or it's where His church needs to be built. One of the things that we've come to understand is that here in the West, we have a rich heritage of Christian knowledge. We have 2,000 years of seminaries, of theological works of just great thinkers. And many of these things are not available to the church around the world. And so we support a man like Jim Panaggio, who will be speaking here tomorrow, whose task is to take great teaching, to build up pastors in South America through seminary teaching to them, so that they can go and support their local churches. We're also supporting a number of other people who are serving their time and trying to bring the gospel to people who haven't heard it. And so overall, the goal of missions here at Cornerstone is to take your giving, the generous giving that people give to this church, take a portion of it and use it to proclaim the gospel where his name is not known or where we can come alongside and build the church. One other comment is this church has been greatly blessed. It has been a matter of prayer for the last 20 years that I've been a part of missions at Cornerstone that we see the people in our congregation catch a vision and dedicate their lives to it. And we have been richly blessed. There are many names, the Coins, the Maynards, Paternini, Anderson, all people who are part of this church who are now dedicated their life. They committed their lives to full-time service. And that has been a rich blessing. And that is another priority of Cornerstone at Missions is to get behind and support those who come out of our congregation who have heard the call and said, I want to plant a flag for Christ somewhere. And so we've been richly blessed by that over the years. And the other thing, and Lou's going to come up here now and talk a little bit about short-term missions trips. We were also eager to see engagement within our congregation, to see the vision, to catch a fire, to serve. We've done a number of overseas missions. 1999 was our first really sponsored missions trip. We've done many since then. We're really focused on what we do with those. We don't try to just go paint an orphanage or something. I've looked at churches in the area, and the things that fall under missions for them are things that I wouldn't find here at Cornerstone. Give to go build a playground. We desire to come alongside other missionaries who are doing their work, and we want to support them. Where we can have a direct outreach in a missions trip, we will. But those are sometimes hard because of the cross-cultural barriers. But we do get behind those things which proclaim the gospel, which build up the service and the work of other missionaries who are there in the field doing their work. So Lou's going to come up here. He's going to tell you a little bit about the work that we do on a regular basis. Every year we send a team to support Wycliffe Bible translators who are at work. And I don't see Lou, so I'm going to keep talking. Oh, come up here, Lou. Okay, yeah. I was going to keep talking until I saw you start approaching. Yeah, but he's going to be talking about the work that we do with JARS, which is part of the service wing of Wycliffe Bible translators who are hard at work of translating the scriptures into the remaining languages that still do not have the Word of God. So there you go, Lou.
Thank you, sir. I thought Marty was up here. He wouldn't stop. We love our brother, Marty. My name is Lou Aliotto, for those of you who do not know me. So as Terrell mentioned, he stole a lot of my thunder regarding about missions, right, and the idea around missions and what the Lord has given us, right, his great commissions, right? What did he say, right? Go make disciples of all the nations. So we, and all the nations means, right, in our neighborhood right here and every corner of this world. Okay, so as Terrell had mentioned, JARS. Okay, every year we take a mission trip, a missions team, somewhere around anywhere from 12 to 15, 18, 20 people. And what JARS stands for is Jungle, Air, and Resource, Aviation and Resource Services. No, it's Air. And Radio Services, okay? And what they do, Terrell mentioned Wycliffe Bible Translators. Okay, and so I didn't want to mess anything up, so I'm going to read right from their site, okay? So the first of all, JARS, okay? Bible translation is their goal, and it's not within reach, okay? More than 600 million people speaking roughly 5,100 languages have less than a few New Testament, less than a full New Testament in language that they value most. And when they can't understand what they read or hear, the life-transforming power of the gospel is stopped in its tracks. Okay, so now what does that mean? So here in the United States, right, we have many different dialects of what we speak. And Pastor Paul, right, you can attest, you go up to Wisconsin, right, and you go up there and there's a different dialect. Hey, how you doing, right? And some people down here might say, what are you talking about? You go down south, there's a different dialect. You go to Hawaii, there's a different dialect. There's different languages. And same thing all over this world. There are actually, yes, there are, and I was shocked to hear this, and I'm going to get in a little bit more what JARS is all about. There are tribals still all over this country, or all over this nation. There are people still living in huts, and we know that, right? But we don't realize what goes on there. Some of these people, these tribal groups, they don't even have a written language. They don't know how to read or write. They don't have an ABCs like we have. And you're thinking, well, this is 2021. How can that still be? Yes, it still happens. So those people do not have God's word readily available to them. Okay, so JARS. Now, what does JARS do? Let me go right here. JARS is a multidisciplinary team of problem solvers committed to the brief and the vision that people's lives and communities are transformed as they experience God's word in their own language. So going further, we are a community of full-time missionaries. There are missionaries all over this world, as we all know. Dedicated volunteers and few employees who work together to accomplish the Great Commission goal of providing scripture to every people group on earth in a language and form they clearly understand. So in some of these nations, some of these tribal groups or whatever, any nation, just because their home or their national language, okay, is right, is their language and nature, they still don't understand it because they have a different dialect. So in one nation, there could be all these different dialects that a Bible has to be translated into that language. So JARS has many partners throughout the world. One of their partners is, as Terrell mentioned, Wycliffe Bible Translators. What these individuals do is they go to these tribes, they go to these nations that don't have a written language, don't have a Bible, mainly a New Testament in their language. These missionaries will learn their language, and they will help them develop an ABCs, develop a written language. It takes time and effort, as you can see, as you can obviously imagine. Okay, and what we learned, there is actually, yes, there is a tribal out there. They communicate in sound. I was shocked to hear this. There's museums over there and they teach. I don't know where it is, but they actually communicate with whistles and different sounds. So you can imagine how hard it would be to go and learn their language. So Wycliffe Bible Translators, they go and they develop a language for them, a written language. They teach it to their people, and now they go ahead and they start out with the New Testament, Book of John, right? And they move forward and they develop this. I know I've been a part of JARS now. Wow, it's been many years. I think I've been going for 10, 12 years now consistently. And I've witnessed knew that by showing the videos where they go and they unload the trucks, right? And they hand a Bible for the first time to people. And the joy in their face here in the United States, we take it for granted, right? I have a whole bookshelf of different Bibles, different resources. That's unheard of. And many, many, I'm talking millions of people out there. And there, as I said, the JAR's goal, along with Wycliffe Bible Translators, is to reach every nation, every tongue out there. So the Word of God is preached to every single human being in this world. So to take us, to go the other direction now. So what does JAR's do? The JAR's campus is literally hundreds of acres. It's an amazing, again, you're amazed what goes on in this world and what they do. There's an airport on the campus. There's apartments, offices, whatever. The technical thing there is amazing when it comes to electronics. So what JARS does is they assist Wycliffe with their airplanes, with their travel. It could be boat, it could be truck, airplane, as I mentioned. Last time we went, we didn't go last year because of COVID, but the year before, I had the privilege of helping load a truck or a trailer that was going overseas. And when I tell you, these people at JARS who load these trucks, they know efficiency, and there is not one inch of that truck that is not packed. And it's everything from missionary families that are overseas, the families will give them, the bicycles are being transported, all their personal stuff, food, you name it, it's going. And that trailer, and it was a blessing for me to see that trailer, there were things going to multiple countries. I don't know which countries they were going to. And in some of these tribal nations, and you can understand what our missionaries go through throughout the world, they don't even have roads. So when our Cessnas, when our planes are going to land there, there's no landing strips. So not only are our missionaries going spreading the word, obviously, along with, the struggles, people against Christianity, but now their lives are at risk because there's nowhere to land. There's no roads to drive on. Literally, these Hummers or their Jeeps that they're driving, right? These four-wheel drive vehicles, they're truly bouncing around all of it. So their lives are at risk. So JARS is also a place where our missionaries will come for furlough. They want to take a break. There's apartments. So what do? Now, where do we come into play? It's a campus. They're 95% supported by you and I. By financial giving. So when we go in as a team, there's whatever the campus needs, the apartments to be painted, building a playground for the kid, the missionary kids that come in, fixing the roads. A few years ago, wow, the whole week, I remember Dave Halperin, it was way back because he was helping out too. We had to actually fix the edges of the runway. Okay, because it was asphalt and it was breaking apart. And we had to go this length of the whole runway, both sides. We had to fix. So there's numerous things that are to be done there. You can help cook. You can, if your IT knowledge, you can go there and help with IT. It's just an amazing thing that you can go and be a part of where you are learning. Not only are you helping out JARS and our missionaries out there, but you're learning what's going on in this world that, believe me, for the first time, and I see many of my brothers here that have gone, you're in wonder. You're like, wow, this really goes on in the world? There are actually people still living in jungles out there that don't even have a language. So by going assisting to help out at the campus, you have a part of helping out our missionaries throughout the world, and you're an extension of helping spread the word of God throughout the world. My final point, again, first of all, JARS wants to make it very clear that they are not, to be clear, JARS is not a Bible translation organization. Their job is to make translation possible by providing logistic solutions in areas like transportation, technology, media, and training so that linguistics, Bible translators, literacy workers, and others around the world can accomplish their ministry goals. So again, I encourage you. It doesn't necessarily have to be JARS. Okay, I encourage you of men of this church, men of this world, right, to be the leader, to go out and do your missionary goal that the Lord has told us and encouraged us to do. So my final thing about what we do as a team and why we go as a team, I was thinking about, all right, why am I going other than painting or helping missionaries? First, I came up with three things. The exposure to the needs of this world. Again, my eyes were opened to this world and what needs to be done. What are the needs of this world? Being outside of my comfort zone. And as I was talking to Paul Dubois, who is, he works at JARS. He's our contact. He helps with the projects and stuff. And I was talking to him this week, and he brought up such an awesome point that stuck home with me. Because I said, yeah, you know, when I first came, I was out of my comfort zone. He said, Lou, stop right there. And he said, if you're talking to the men of your church, let them listen to this. He said, when you go out of your comfort zone, his exact words were, it's easier to listen to God. Right? It's just like when we're in a trial. We go to our Lord, and it's easier to listen. So if we're nervous about something, we don't know what we're doing, right? If you're an IT guy and we're asking you to go, you know, do some concrete work, you're nervous. You're in, right? You go to the Lord. Lord, help me. Give me some guidance here. And finally, it's a chance to build relationships with one another. And I'm looking at a brother now. The first time I really had a chance to sit with the Millers, Derek and his lovely family, was at JARS, and we got to know each other on a different level. And you build those relationships, not only with us, but also with the people who are serving. And we do see many missionaries there on furlough or whatever. Okay, so again, I challenge you. Again, it doesn't have to be JARS. I challenge you to seek deep in your heart what the Lord is asking you to do, whether it's here in your community. Okay, so Terrell mentioned about what we do here locally, okay, and in our church, and support broadly. I'm telling you, or I just explained what we do here in the States. You could do short-term mission trip. And now we have a surprise guest while he's on video of what we do globally.
Hey, Cornerstone Brothers, men's breakfast. God bless you guys. Have so many sweet memories, years of doing men's breakfast together and gathering around the word and the sweet fellowship when you walk in a room and see all the brothers that love the Lord Jesus. Miss you guys. Can't wait to see you in a month here or so. Brother Lou Aliota asked me to do a 5 to 10 minute video on missions focus. So let me start out with a little bit of encouragement on missions. One of my favorite verses is Mark 16:15. Says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. I love that because it's all inclusive. Everyone, all of God's creation to hear the gospel. And of course, when you think of the gospel, you start with yourself. If I'm meditating on the gospel, which I believe is eternal meditation, we'll never comprehend all it cost God to redeem our souls. But when I meditate on the gospel, it gives me a desire to share with others. It gives me a desire first in my home to show the gospel to my kids and my wife, and then to move out from there to my neighborhood and to the people at work. And of course, not everyone's called to be a cross-cultural missionary, even though I would challenge you guys that in a metropolitan city like Cleveland, you do have thousands of foreigners, especially coming to the universities to study. Well, we could do cross-cultural missions right in our own city. That's why I love the student ministry. It was a great ministry our church did. I don't think enough people were involved in it. It's getting out of your comfort zone, like any missions activity is. Any discipleship and evangelism is giving of yourself. It's denying yourself the things you want to do so that you can do the things of God. And if you want to know any more about that, Brother Terrell was always involved in that, and Chris Canfield as well. They did a lot of that. But I remember I drove the bus for him once, and there was people from China and India and Eastern Europe. So that's a great cross-cultural ministry. But again, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every living creature, starting in your own soul and moving out to the people at work. When you don't, we all should have the desire, like Paul said in Romans 1, he has an earnest desire to preach the gospel. If Christ has really changed your life, then you want to preach the gospel. You want people to know it. And I think of this story. That's why prayer is so important. Lord, give me a heart. My heart is cold. My heart doesn't care about lost people. And yet I know they're lost by your word and by the actions you did on the cross and rose from the grave. I know they're lost. So give me a desire for them. A fast story on prayer and evangelism and missions. Richard Warmbrandt, one of my heroes of the faith. He was an atheist, and he went to a retreat up in the mountains. And I think it was the cleaning man, the maintenance man who worked in the mountains, was a Christian, and he prayed, Lord, he was getting older, he says, before I die, let me lead one of your chosen people. Let me lead a Jewish person to you. Well, guess what Richard Warmbrandt was? He was an atheist Jew. And he went up to that retreat center. I can't remember what it was, what kind of center it was. I think he was sick or had an alcoholic problem. And this man led him to the Lord. And Warmbrandt went on to preach the gospel and to make such a great difference in the persecuted church all over the world. So prayer. Pray. God, give me a heart. Open a door for me. Like that man prayed. And God will hear you. He wants to. Keep knocking on the door. Luke 19. Keep knocking. Be persistent. Lord, the fellow at work, give me a chance to share the gospel with him. That's where mission starts, right at home. A little bit about personal ministry. Let me read the famous text for missions, Matthew. You have to read it, 20:19-20. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So we are called to make disciples. We know that. That's the goal of our church, all good churches, to make disciples. Where does that start? That starts in evangelism. That's the first step in discipleship. You have to bring someone to Christ first. And that's what we're trying to do. That's why we have a mixed ministry of doing discipleship in the church and trying to reach people with the gospel. Evangelism, discipleship. I think all good missions is based on that. And of course, building the church, church planning, building the church. How are we doing that? Well, you, many of you have heard, we've worked with these Sri Lankans. There's foreigners flooding Romania to get better paying jobs. And Romania needs them. They don't have the workforce to keep up as the country's growing. So these Sri Lankans come and we... First time I saw him at the church, my heart just went out. That's God. That's Christ in me. He gave me a desire. I saw them. They're darker skin and amongst all the Europeans. And I just went straight up to them. And some of them spoke English. And I had a friendship with them. And right away, they wanted me to teach them a Bible study. And you talk about missions. Here these guys are Hindus and Buddhists. And they believe in many gods. And you have to be careful because as you talk to them about Jesus, they're all smiles and happy because they like your Jesus and they're just going to add him to their list of gods. Maybe you remember the movie Itau. Great movie. Look it up if you want to see how missions works when you go to a country that doesn't have a biblical foundation. These guys knew nothing about Adam and Eve, nothing about Noah, nothing about Abraham. So I remember the movie Itau, and I said, well, I'm just going to start with Genesis and tell them about the one true God who made the world. And what a Bible study. 20, 25 guys showing up and asking questions about the Lord. The pandemic put a little damper on that. I still have a great relationship with Danielle. Many of you have saw him maybe on Facebook videos. Who knows like four or five languages. He probably knows a third of all the world's languages because he knows Arabic, Hindi, and English, which covers most of the world right there. All he needs is Chinese and he'd have it covered. But that is a great work, and we're trying to bring them to Christ with the gospel. So every week as I teach them the Bible, I was also teaching them the gospel. And you know the gospel's everywhere. I started with Genesis 3:15, the first gospel, where God promises Adam and Eve in the middle of their sin that he's going to crush the devil's head and the devil will bruise his heel, in a reference to Jesus Christ and the crucifixion. Now, by God's grace, we're trying to get involved with these Afghanistans that are flooding the country. Hundreds, refugees. I was looking at my Operation World. It's the second, third poorest country in the world. So let's say they make $10 a month. They can come to Romania and make $500 a month. But most of them want to get through Romania to England, Germany, France, where a lot of their cousins are already working and making even more money. So we have a little window to share the gospel with them. And the awesome thing about Romania is it's a much freer country, believe it or not, than Western Europe. They're starting to clamp down on Christianity. The Eastern European countries, the ex-communist countries, are much more open. Poland, Hungary, Bulgaria, Romania, even Russia. I don't think they're going to push you around if you're preaching the gospel like we've been hearing in England and other countries. So a great window. Now that's another cross-cultural thing you have to watch out for. These guys are Muslims. That's a totally different way of reaching. We've already made some faux pas going into their rooms, and guys started singing Christian hymns to them and asking to pray for them, and the Muslims were a little offended by that. And I says, guys, let's rethink this. You know, we are not ashamed of the gospel. We're going to give them the gospel. But I've been studying, as I studied in Bible school, and now I have to refresh myself. You know, let's not slam them. Don't talk about Muhammad. Don't talk about Islam so much. Let's just lift up the name of Jesus. Let's lift up why he came, how our sins can be forgiven through Christ. And of course, let's first love them. You know, that's our goal now, is to first love them and show them we care about them as human beings created in the image of God. And so we're feeding them. The church has one church, 20 churches have come together. It's so awesome. Pentecostal, Baptist, brethren have come together to bring these guys three meals a day in several locations. The government doesn't have a lot of money to feed them or take care of them. They're just trying to get them off to their respective countries or send them back to Afghanistan. So we have a little window. Pray for us in that. I am so thankful that the churches are getting along and we're doing this. Now I just want us to be, I want us to be sensitive. I've been showing them there's two extremes. I says, where I come from, if you say social gospel, that's not good, because that means you don't want to give them the real gospel. You just want to do good works. And I'm not into that. I'm into sharing the gospel as well as loving them. And then the other extreme is, let's hit them over the head with the Bible and make them listen to us because, you know, we're giving them food. Let's watch out for that too. Let's go right down the middle with loving them and looking for opportunities that God has opened the door where we can share Jesus Christ, the only way to heaven, with them. Well, I know time's flying here, so I'm going to close with, got to talk about my Mimi, because she was on the phone with the women at the church and just asking them how you're doing. This is discipleship, guys. This is, when I think about the guys that 25 years ago I was here and discipled them, and now they're mature men in Christ, and they're helping me in my walk, and I get this mutual discipleship going on. That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for them to be mature in the faith where they can help me grow and keep me accountable with my shortcomings and keep me on track with serving the Lord and keeping concentrated on what matters. Mimi's doing that with these women, and she just talked to a sister in the Lord from a Christian home where her two sons, over 20 years old, are hooked on drugs. They've been in and out of the rehab. And I'm going to go visit them, and I'm so excited to go and visit them with my background and how Christ changed me, and I can offer them the gospel and say, hey, you got to replace this drug addiction with the power of the Holy Spirit and come to know Jesus if you don't know him. So Mimi's just been doing great discipleship with the women. We're so thankful because we were prepared by Cornerstone, And I always like to say this, you know this English saying, American saying, we're loaded for bear. We're loaded for bear. We know the gospel. We know discipleship. We know evangelism, and we just want to share it with people. That's missions, brothers and sisters. Brothers, no sisters, unless the kids showed up for the men's breakfast. Pray for us. We need this balance. The verse comes to mind. The harvest is ripe and the laborers are few. We can't do everything. Help us to be focused on the things God has put before us and not to spread ourselves thin. We love you guys. Go into all the world. Preach the gospel.